Amen. And now we're going to continue on our series. It's kind of like the starting of the fall series titled Passing It On or Pass It On. Everybody say Pass It On. Pass It On is a great way to think about establishing, like getting back into kind of a good rhythm and flow with God as you think about the fall. We've been bouncing around the summer. We've been separated. Typically, a church attendance, like it swells and people fall back into like their normal routines. And the most important thing for us to realize, and if you want to have a great fall, if you want to have a great winter, guess what? Think in terms of passing it on. Like real life, real impact for Christ never ignores the priority of passing on our faith to our children and to our people. How many would say amen to that? And so last week, we're doing 3 weeks on one passage of scripture. I really felt like the Lord spoke to me that this is the way we're supposed to start the fall. And we're spending 3 weeks on 7 verses out of Joshua chapter 4. This story is the beginning of when the people of Israel, the people of God, entered into the promised land. They went 40 years in the wilderness because of their unbelief, but now God was going to bring them in to the promised land. And there were some very important things that God said, in a sense, at the first miracle that he did so that they could step in. And so as they were stepping into the promised land, and I want you to know, you should have this expectation that you want to step in to a new level of the fulfillment of the promise of God for your life. How many are ready to step into that? New levels of fulfillment for your family, for your children, for your people. Amen? Okay, so this week I'm reading verses 1 through 3. I mean, yes, 1 through 3 and 6 to 7. I'm skipping 5 and 6. I'm doing this for the sake of emphasis. Next week we'll cover 5 and 6. And so Joshua chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, is as follows. And I'm reading for emphasis. When the whole nation had crossed the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men, one from each tribe, and command them to take 12 stones out of the middle of the Jordan. From the," come on, say these two words, ready? "Very place where the priests were standing. Tell them to carry these stones with them and to put them down where you camp tonight." Okay? How many know all of us have a place where we camp? Right? And God was saying, there's some things I want you to put down where you camp. Right? What are you putting down where you camp? Because he was saying, I want you to put some things down where you camp. Now we're going to jump to verse 6 where it says, "These stones will remind the people of what the Lord has done. In the future, when your children ask what these stones mean to you," everybody say, that's me, right? "You will tell them that the water, the flood waters, the water of the Jordan stopped flowing when the Lord's covenant box, when the Lord's presence," right, the Ark of the Covenant, "when the Lord's presence right, crossed the river. As soon as it stepped into the river, the water stopped flowing. And then it says, these stones, these unique particular stones, will always, somebody say always, always remind the people of Israel of what happened here. I read that for emphasis so that we could glean in our second message of what does it take to pass on our faith. So here's what God was saying. God was saying, when I do a great work, when I do a miracle among you, when I do a miracle for you, from the very place that I do that miracle or did that miracle, I want you to take that moment with you and put it where you camp. And I want you to put it with your in your camp, where you camp tonight, so that your children and your people will absolutely know the great things that the Lord has done. God was telling them, I want you to pass on the great things that I do for you. Your children desperately need to know what God did for you. Do your children know what God has done for you? Come on, how many know we're supposed to pass on what God has done for us? This is a big deal. Your people, everyone has a people, and God wants for all of his children to have these moments where he does miracles for us, and as he does miracles for us, then what do? We carry it with us, and we put it where we camp so that we can, everyone, pass it on. So passing it on speaks to our spiritual legacy. So legacy is what you pass on, but legacy is based on history. Okay? So listen to this. Your spiritual history is the key to your spiritual legacy. Okay, I want you to drink this in. A spiritual legacy is the lasting imprint of a person's spiritual faith, values, and practices that influences others often across generations. So if you want a spiritual legacy, you've got to have a spiritual history, which takes us back to last week. The reason why we seek the ark of God, the reason why we seek the presence of God, it's because wherever the presence of God is, that's where he releases his power. That's where he does the miracles. That's where he does the great things. And then when God does a miracle for you, you're called to carry it with you to those places where God has done great things, where you camp, and so that everyone will know God has done great things for you. This is real Christianity. You know, in our house right now, I think she might be here, but my daughter gave birth on Wednesday. So we got she has a little one. Sienna Lake is 14 months. And now we have Adrian Rain. Little Adrian Rain, Georgie, she's such a cutie. And she's like 6 days old, but it's been so much fun. They've kind of moved in with us. We're just helping out to, you know how that is. And it's been such a blessing to wake up and have little kids in the house. And one of the, it's been so long for me, but they've got this music that they play for Sienna Lake. It's kind of like a worshipful, spiritual baby club music. So I never heard this light, this little light of mine like that, but it's got this boom, 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 this little light, you know what I mean? It's like, and what blesses me is that little Sienna, right? She hears it and she's got moves already. I'm telling you, the Cuban definitely came through because she's got moves. You know, and she lifts her hands, and here's the thing, right? So now that, like, this is serious, okay? Because I didn't grow up in a Christian home, right? So I didn't hear those kinds of things. But here's what happens. Anytime she hears music, Guess what Sienna Lake does? She goes like this. Right? Why? It's because she's been taught. Lift your hands and worship the King of Glory. She's been taught there is a God who answers and hears. There's a God who comes through for his people, and he does miracles, and he's worthy to be praised, and he's worthy to be worshiped. Hallelujah. How many would agree our children need to learn how to raise their hands? Our children need to learn how to worship God. We gotta pass it on, not just to the community, but our very own children. Our children need to feel like, oh snap, mom and dad, they love the Lord, they worship the Lord. Mom and dad have this history with God. Mom and dad are always telling us. And, you know, I think about when our kids were little, and I told stories over and over and over again. And I want to say this to you, like, if you hear me repeat stories over and over again, here's why. You know? And I remember laughing. My kids were, as teenagers, sometimes I would go into one of those stories, and I would see them go like this. Here we go again. And I'm like, I don't care. I'm going to tell it again and again and again. It's going to come out of your ears. But I want you to know why. I want my kids to know the when and the why, the when and the why of the goodness and of the faithfulness of God. Hallelujah. You know why this is here? This is here because God is good, because God is merciful, because God is faithful. That's why we have this car. That's why we have this. That's why we have this family. Because God came through, hallelujah. Anybody here thankful? God comes through for his people, hallelujah. This is not culture. This is living, powerful Christianity. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And let me tell you something. Each and every one of us can have our own stories. Before we pray, Let me just give you a couple of quick examples. So we have a brother in our church who works at a high school, and they asked him to coach the football team. So the football team had a terrible, like a horrible losing record. He comes in and he turns the program around. I think initially he was more of a baseball player than a football player, which is always good, by the way, but let's not get distracted. So he comes in, he starts coaching the team, he turns the team around, but he not just turns the team around, he's discipling those kids. He has Bible studies for them. He has, even before they start the games, he brings people in and they share the word of God. And so I can just hear the teachers, right? I can hear the teachers, hey, there that guy. You see that guy right there? He not only turned around our program, but he's teaching those kids the Bible. Those boys are turning into men. That guy is being used. How many know? We can all pass it on to the people around us. Our coworkers should know that we're passing it on. That's real. A high school football coach can pass it on. You know, I met the other day this couple, young couple. They're newer to our church, and he's in construction, but he works on skyscrapers and he repairs windows of skyscrapers. And he showed me a couple of pictures from the outside of Chicago, from the outside of the skyscraper, not through the window, on the outside. And when he showed me the picture, I just wanted to lay down on the floor so I could feel safe. You know? I was like, yo, I gotta get low right now. Like my stomach was turning over, like. But it's just amazing to see. They've got little kids, but here's this couple really trying to serve the Lord, really trying to honor God. How many know that when we really serve the Lord, we pass it on and He gets the glory and we make an impact and we get a legacy? Anybody here want a spiritual legacy? We get so caught up. We wanna pass on money and we wanna pass on this, but there's nothing more important than spiritually passing on to your kids that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the faithful one and the one who's a friend that sits closer than a brother. Are you passing him on? See, that's what this life is all about. It's living for the day when we see him face to face. And so I want to pray, you know, I want to ask the Lord to help us. By the way, I want to say one more thing. It just popped into my mind. So I gave you a couple of young couples. Then I spoke to someone, he's like my age, and his mother just passed. And his mother, not famous, not on social media, you know, not on the news, but his mother was a spiritual giant. She was such a powerful prayer warrior. And can I tell you something? When you come from a family where people call upon the name of the Lord, Christy and I will tell you, we are convinced that there were a couple generations ago, there were a couple of women who used to pray. You know why Chicago Tabernacle is here? It's because a couple of women used to pray, even before the Brooklyn Tabernacle. God, send your spirit. God, raise up lighthouses, and God honors that. We are part of that spiritual legacy. We are blessed. And let me tell you, parents, if we are deliberate and focused, you know, our children will receive and remember what we've passed on. And God will honor that. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so I want to pray because, look, we cannot take for granted the opportunity that God has presented right now. You know, and so our world is crazy, and yes, and we'll talk about that in a moment. Our world is crazy, but you know, it's important. It's important that you and I pass him on. And so let's pray. Let's ask the Lord that by his Spirit, he would equip us and empower us and enable us to pass him on, to really exalt the name of Jesus. And that we would pass on to our children and to our people all the great things that he's done. So, Father, we thank you. Lord, we bow our hearts before you. And God, we have a confidence today. Our confidence is that the God who did great things in the past also does great things in the present. We thank you that when you rose from the dead, Lord Jesus. Lord, you rose as the living God. You're the living God. And you're alive in our midst. You're alive in our hearts. And so, God, would you bless us, especially in the times that we're living in? Would you bless us and equip us for the sake of our children, not just biological, but also, God, spiritual? Lord, for the sake of our people, our neighbors, our friends, equip us, empower us with your great presence and truth to pass it on. Bless this word. Bless our time. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. So how do we honor our spiritual history so that we can develop and grow a spiritual legacy? Well, that's what the passage is teaching us today. And the title of the message today is two things that we need to do. We have to remember and rejoice. If you want to pass on a spiritual legacy, you have to remember and rejoice. And so I want to take the next few moments to kind of break down our kids' need for us to remember and rejoice, our neighbors' need for us to remember and rejoice. And here's how we do it based on the text today. Number one, we have to carry, you have to carry your God memories. You have to carry the great things that God has done for you. Like when God does a miracle for you, right? Look at what the Bible says. God does something great for you. Pick it up and carry it. We'll talk more about this next week, but pick it up and carry it to the place where you camp. Some people, God does great things, but after he does the great things, they forget to carry it from where they were to the place where they camp so that everyone can know. We cannot forget what God has done. Memory is a great spiritual discipline. A holy memory is very, very important. Did you know that God tells his people over 1,200 times to remember? We have to remember. Memory is fuel for your worship. If you forget, it's easy to grow cold. But when you remember, it's easy to burn bright. Right? How many know? Well, look, let me ask you the question. Where would you be if it wasn't for the day that Jesus rescued you? Where would your marriage be? Where would your family be? Where would your mind be? Where would your body be? Where would you be? Anybody here grateful that he found you? He reached out and grabbed you. And so much is so different because of the intervention of God. So when he steps into your life and he does something amazing and fantastic, you cannot forget it. You have to carry your God moments. Are you carrying your God moments? Carrying your God moments are very, very important. Here's one of the things that carrying your God moments does. It reminds you of how big God is when times get tough. And it also reminds you that you belong to something bigger. There's a bigger reason, there's a bigger purpose for our lives, you see? And so God does these amazing things, and it's our job to say, oh, I've got to take it to that next place and actually remember. Look at what the Bible says in Deuteronomy about this. Like, this is heavy, heavy stuff that the Bible insists on. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. All day long, we have to carry those things and we have to pass them on. Listen, this is a very, very important principle here. It says in Colossians, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. You see, but here's the thing. If you don't remember what God did for your life, then you will always be thinking about earthly things. But when we remember what the Lord has done, brothers and sisters, when we are mindful of his goodness and of his great of his greatness to us, to our lives, then of course we're going to be upward. Of course we're going to be thinking about the faithfulness of God. And I want to encourage you, right? Don't forget the little things in God. A lot of people make the mistakes. God does a lot of little things and we forget the little things. I personally believe, brothers and sisters, that we little things become bigger things. There's a momentum of miracles that God does in the lives of certain people, you know? So like when I was a kid, and I thank God, and you guys have heard me say this over and over again, but this is the reason why. Like my dad used to throw out Wonder Bread? He used to throw out the corners. But when he would throw out the corners, I remember being a little boy, he would kiss the bread and throw it in the garbage. I was like, Dad, why are you kissing bread, man? And he was like, you don't understand. In Cuba, you never knew if you were going to get bread. You need to be thankful for every time you eat bread. You know, be grateful, right? Now, that was not necessarily under God, but it was true. But let me tell you that in God, it's even greater. It's even more important. Because God does a little thing for you today, and what God does for you today, right, if you pick it up and carry it, when you face the next miracle, guess what? You're using what he did yesterday so that you could face your today. And you're like, Lord, you came through. God, I know that you are faithful and powerful. You were faithful then. You will be faithful right now. I'm ready, God, for you to do something awesome. Do you know when our church started? And it's been a while since I told this story, but I will tell it again. You know, our church, you look around this building, and I drive up to the church all the time. And I'm like, I walk into the sanctuary, and I'm like, oh, snap. How did this happen? Like, look at what the Lord has done. Man, God is powerful. You realize we moved to this city. We didn't know anybody in Chicago. I mean, nobody, right? We had no idea what neighborhood, what this, what's the good name, north side, west side, none of those things. We move. We start. God starts a little group. Lisa Varela was part of that, that beginning crew, just a handful of people. And God did some miracles in the beginning, but second year, do you know that CT almost closed, right? So we went, everybody, something happened, so people got sick, people got laid off. It was like a February, and you know February is the hardest month of Chicago. It's like been so dark for so long, so cold. I was a newbie to Chicago. So, by the way, our second day in Chicago, we bought like North Face coats for everybody because we were so afraid of the cold here. But anyway, we're like in this month, and man, things were going backwards. And I was in the gym with Pastor Armand, and I got a phone call. In fact, you know, I got to climb back up here. Yeah, I'm going to go this way. So, that's what you call wisdom. Grandpa Toledo needs to just walk, take it, just, right? So, we're in the gym painting. We had a little gym, another building, and we get the phone call, and it was Don Labadie. Someone who was like a pillar in this house, just a pillar. And she was one of our strongest givers at the time. And she says, Pastor Toledo, how are you? I said, I'm good. How are you? She says, I'm good. But guess what? I'm on the phone. She said, guess what? I said, what? She said, I just got laid off. And I went like this. I went, praise God. He's so faithful, Dawn. He's going to see you through. He's so good. And then I was like, come on. So I actually, I think I may have gotten the story a little off, but I ran downstairs. I dropped my phone in the office. I came back. Pastor Armand, I tell him the story. Pastor Armand, he was on a scaffolding, and he said, by the way, so here's the way it went. Week one, week two, week three, no salaries. Six, seven, week eight, we're like, we're closing the church. We had three kids. I don't know how many weeks exactly it was. It was really long. Armand said, I'm not taking a paycheck either. We're barely paying the bills. We get the call. Armand says, Pastor, God gave me a promise today. Be strong, take heart, and wait upon the Lord. Be strong and take heart. So we come back up into the sanctuary, and we started praying. And we walked around, and I've told this. I know we have a lot of new people in the church, so you need to hear this. This is part of our history. If you want to know why we prayed loud, here's why. Okay? So we start walking in the sanctuary, just me and Armand, and we're walking back and forth, and we're like, God, in case you forgot where we are, Lord, we're right here. And Lord, we're staying here because you opened the door and sent us here. And he who begins a good work will carry it on to completion. And we know that you're faithful, and we know that you're powerful, and we cried out, and we know that you're going to come through, and this mountain is not too big for you, and your arm is not too short, oh God, and we're here. They'll have to throw us out, Lord. They have to throw us out of this place. But Lord, we believe that you're good and strong and faithful. You started this, and you're going to see it through. Lord, we know, we know, we know. And by the way, just a side note, okay, you have to learn how to pray through in life. Some people, you don't know how to really wrestle in the spirit, okay? And you pray, Jesus, you know this difficulty that we're encountering, trials and tribulations, a lot of $7 words. Okay, the Bible says that during his days on the earth, Jesus offered up loud cries and tears. Okay, the Bible says in the book of Acts that they would raise their voices and the Spirit would come down and shake the house. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. And here's what happens. There's a place where you pray and you wrestle. We went about 45 minutes. You pray, you wrestle, you fight. And then the Spirit says to you, this is what it means to pray through. The Spirit says to you, okay, that's enough. They could send me a keyboard player. Yes, thank you. There he is. Wow, God, it's moving right now. So you can pray and pray and pray, and here's what happens when you learn how to really pray. You pray about an issue. It could be a wayward child, a wayward spouse, someone who's sick, whatever it might be. You pray, you fight, you wrestle, and then all of a sudden, I'm telling you, the Spirit says, it's good now, that's enough. And even though no circumstances have changed, you get up and you're like, hallelujah, I know that's taken care of, right? I prayed in the mighty name of Jesus, right? It says, if you believe, I will move that mountain. How many know God is in the mountain moving business? Oh, that's emotionalism. No, it's not. That's New Testament Christianity. That's New Testament history. It's the other things that are cultural. What I'm talking about is biblical, right? So anyway, we pray through. True story. I go downstairs, and there's a message on my phone. You know, it's so funny how, by the way, this is like yesterday for me. And that phone, it had a certain sound. Every time I hear that sound, it takes me back to that moment. Like, my phone is on silent now all the time. But it used to have this kind of funny ring. And so I remember the phone so clear. It's like yesterday. So anyway, message, take, and it says, hey, Pastor Toledo, you don't know me. I went to your church once. I got your number from so-and-so. I live in the suburbs. But would you take a moment and call me? So I call him. And he says, hi, name is so-and-so. He goes, I went to your church once, but the reason why I called you is because I was praying. And while I was praying, the Lord spoke to me and told me I'm supposed to give you $100,000. Come on, somebody. Come on, he's the God who hears the cries of his people. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will answer. Could we praise him right now? He hears the cries of his people. Hallelujah. Yes, he does. He's real. He's real, brothers and sisters. I'm telling you online, call upon him. He's the God who called those things into existence that did not exist. So he says to me, 3 weeks from now, you're going to be at this. I heard you'll be there. I'll meet you there, and I'll give you the check. I'm like, cool. I hung up the phone. I got in the car, drove to that corner, and I waited for 3 weeks out in the cold. How many know I wasn't going to miss that appointment? No traffic jam or delay, flight delays, nothing. I was there. And sure enough, he came through. We went from the red to the black. And that became a memorial for us. Our church, our history is not about super gifted people. It's about super famous people. We're the most ordinary people on the planet. But you know what we're about? We're about serving a God who hears the cries of his people. Hallelujah! And when we call on his name, he answers. And we will not forget it. We will not forget it. We will carry that with us. And so here's how it goes, brothers and sisters, right? So you pick up, God does this thing, you've got to carry it. Because when you face the next thing, right, can I tell you, when we came into this building, and since we've been in this building, we've needed more miracles. We've needed God to do greater things. But there's a momentum that says, God, if you did it then, God, you can do it now. You're the same yesterday. Come on, somebody, believe today that he's faithful. Cross over in your faith. But you got to go back to what he's done. You got to go back to what he's done. And listen, your children, your people, they need to know what God has done for you. They need to know. Your neighbors need to know what God has done for you. So you got to carry your stones with you. You got to carry those moments with you. And then here's part two, because remember, it's remember and then it's rejoice. So how do we describe rejoice? It means that you have to carry your stones gladly. Somebody say gladly. Gladly. Like imagine this, imagine. Right, so here they are on this side. The promised land is over there. 40 years in the wilderness. And now by a miracle, it stops. It opens. They walk through. They get to the other side. Joshua says to 12 guys, hey, you see where the priests are standing? Go pick up some stones over there. Now, when it says go pick up some stones, the intimation is not like, hey, go put a rock in your pocket. Right? It's saying pick up some stones. Right? Now, when they picked up those stones, and they're walking back like this. Man, everybody's watching, right? Could you imagine them like, can't believe I gotta carry this stuff. It's like, why do I have to carry this stuff, right? Don't you agree with me, right? Don't you agree that they were like, hallelujah, Lord. I can't believe the great things you've done for my life, oh God. I praise you. What a privilege that I get to carry this stone. Lord, I'm picking something up that no one in the history of time got a rock from this place, but I got this rock. This rock is mine, and I'm going to celebrate what you have done. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Hallelujah. What is worship? Worship is gladly building monuments to God, right? Worship is celebrating who God is. We shouldn't, you know, sometimes it's an interesting thing. Like when you read this passage, right? Sometimes the worship leader has to be like, come on, guys, lift your hands. like the frozen chosen. We're like, right? Like, come on, clap your hands, shout. Brothers and sisters, don't you have a reason to rejoice? The Bible says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. Hasn't he been good this past week? He's been good. He's been faithful. Hallelujah. Our kids need to hear your voice. Can I tell you something about gratitude? Gratitude is never silent. Okay? If you're thankful, you say it. Right? Gratitude is not, oh, I feel it in here. No, no, no. That's something else. Gratitude. Look at what the Bible says in Psalm 103. It says, praise the Lord, my soul. Okay? Not you people praise the Lord. It says, praise the Lord. In one translation, it says, oh, my soul. Like when it says, oh, my soul, it's almost like if, just in case you're on the struggle in this moment, oh, soul, wake up and remember. Right? Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. And come on, two words, ready? Forget not. Forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all of your sins and heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Haven't you been crowned with the goodness of God, who satisfies your desires with the good things that your youth is renewed by like an eagle? Hallelujah. He's a good, good Father. He's faithful. Hallelujah. Has God ever done something good for you? It just revives you like you're a little kid. That's the kind of life we're called to live. That's the way we pass it on. You know, my father-in-law had the privilege of speaking to Chinese leaders in the underground church. You know, we talk about how bad things are in America. There's other places, they just see you carrying a Bible, you're arrested. There's places that they see you carrying a Bible, you could be killed, right? And in certain places in China, they can't have a worship service. The way they worship is like this. You know, because the police will come in and sweep them all away, right? The underground church is really underground. And I remember Pastor saying, in this place, these people were actually able to sing. And he said, he's like, you've never been in a worship service like that. You've never heard tears of love and gratitude like I heard. He said, it kind of shrunk me. It shrunk me. I couldn't believe the heart that these people had. Even in the hardest places, they rejoiced. And I want to speak to something think about the last 10 days. Last 10 days have been very, very sad, jarring. Like, we've had this political assassination take place. Charlie Kirk, in broad daylight, he was murdered. Here's the interesting thing about Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk was a human being who was very flawed. Honestly, there were a number of things that Charlie Kirk said that I wish he would have never said. But there were so many things that Charlie Kirk said. He preached the gospel. He lifted up Jesus. He was not ashamed to say there's a Savior. He exalted the goodness of God and the glory of God. He had no problem on college campuses. He was telling people about Jesus all the time. And here's been one of the interesting things that I've been observing. It's like even Christians have been in such an uproar and trying to defend Charlie Kirk. Can I give you some advice? Charlie Kirk doesn't need anybody to defend him. Don't worry about defending Charlie Kirk. Let me tell you, be Charlie Kirk. Lift your voice for Jesus. Tell the world about Jesus. Celebrate Jesus. Give glory to Jesus. people are getting so offended about, you know, Charlie Kirk and the church, and now even Christians are fighting one another. You're missing the point. You're missing the point, right? What about you? What are you opening your mouth and proclaiming, right? All have sinned and fall. We all have flaws. We all have failures, but all of us can open our mouths and say, Jesus is alive. And Jesus says, go out and share the gospel, somebody. Instead of being caught up, I said this on Tuesday, you know, it's like, it's not the position, it's not the post or the party. It's the Word and the Spirit, brothers and sisters. And I'm telling you, the Word and the Spirit is not about lifting up the name of a man. It's about lifting up the name of Jesus. Let's lift up the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what we're called to do. And I hope that God baptizes us with His passion and His courage. We should have more courage to share Jesus than to be defending positions. Somebody say amen. Now I'll close with this. This happened this Friday. So I had this meeting on Friday evening. And I get a text from a sister in our church. Her name is Marilyn Ortiz. And the reason why I stress that is because I want to call her Marilyn Bonilla. I even typed Marilyn Bonilla, forgive me, Manny, but I know her since she's 12 years old. And she's been through so much physically. She's had lots of physical attacks when she was young. She conquered them by the grace of God. We prayed. Now she's married. She has a family. She and her husband, just delightful, godly people. And about 5 or 6 months ago, we got the news. She had cancer in her spine, her shoulder, her pelvis, her hip, femur, liver, and lung. And in the prayer meeting, we cried out to God. Week after week, we cried out to God. She started a special treatment. And here's what's interesting about this. Tim, I don't know if I got to share this with you, but the first 2 months, they made a mistake and they only gave her 50% of the treatment. And then they realized that that they were doing this wrong. And then, it was supposed to be 4 month protocol. It was only 2 months. First 2 months, 50. Then the last 2 months, it was 100%. So she went back to the doctor and here's the text. Today was a big day at the oncologist. I need to give you an update. There is no cancer in my spine, shoulder, pelvis, hip, femur, liver. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! He's great! He's mighty! He's powerful! Blessed be the name of the Lord! Glory, glory, glory! Glory to God in the highest! Glory to your name! He's wonderful! He's glorious! Hallelujah! Listen, stay right where you are. We're going to praise God more in just a moment. But let me finish reading this. So here's the thing. It says the mass on the lung, which is the thing that's left, right, is still there, but it shrunk by 65.9% in length and 96% in volume. The doctor pulled up the PET scan. The old one was lit up, representing cancer, all of these different colors. The other one was no colors because the blood of Jesus washes it all away. Hallelujah. Glory to the name of God. He's worthy to be praised. I'm telling you right now, he's worthy to be praised. Right? That's someone right here, right now. Why? Why? Because God says, if you call upon me in the day of trouble, I'm telling you right now, I will answer. I love you. I'm faithful. I'm powerful. Anybody of you watching online, do you have cancer? Our God is greater than cancer. Do you have a brokenness in your family? Our God is greater than the brokenness of your family. Do you have trauma and depression? Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. He will lift your soul. He will touch your mind. He will heal your heart. We believe, we believe, we believe. We believe, God. We believe. We will carry our stones gladly.